Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Delaware Blogger Podcast, where each week I have an opportunity to interview guests from in and around the state of Delaware who are doing positive things in his or her communities. And today, my special guest is Andre Bogarty. And Andre is the author of The Danger of the Safe Place. Let me tell you a little bit more about him before I bring him on. Andre is also a native from Detroit, Michigan, who served in the United States Air Force at Dover Air Force Base from 1991 to 1998. He's a graduate of the Wilmington University, where he received both his bachelor's and a master's degree, and he uses his education experience to reach people from various walks of life. Andre is also known for his sense of humor and easy-to-get-along personality, which is evident why God has called Andre to serve, because he leads in so many different areas. Businesses, the faith community, entrepreneurial endeavors, and of course, in the fraternal community. He aspires to teach to those who have never had it and to restore faith to those who have lost it, ultimately accomplishing things that God has called him to do. Andre continues to glean from his father in the faith, Pastor Anthony Wallace, learning one of the most valuable lessons. He said, you just have to have faith to start. Now, Andre's books that you can finish, it's a series that's aimed for busy individuals who love to read but find themselves too busy, and also for individuals who like to start their reading journey and not feel overwhelmed. And the first book of many, I know many more to come in this series, is entitled Danger of the Safe Place. So I am so honored to have Andre Bogarty here with me. Andre, welcome to the Delaware Blogger Podcast. Thank you so very much for agreeing to be a guest on the show today. And let me tell you something. Not only are you an inspiration to me, I am so super sure that you are an inspiration to so many other people in the state of Delaware, and that's why I'm so anxious to learn more about you and to share you with the community, because what? I'm going to put it out there, dude. You're going to become a best-selling author. Welcome, Andre.
Oh, welcome. Thank you so much, and I'm super excited to be here. You are phenomenal in your own right. Everything you're doing, everything you touch just seems to explode. So I'm ready for it to spend this time with you. And I'm so glad that you even consider me to be part of the Delaware Blogger Podcast. And I am truly humbled. So thank you.
And you're quite welcome. And in all honesty, we're going to put, you know, How do we know each other? Let's just get that out there right away. How do we know each other?
How do we know each other? Because your husband and I belong to, and your son.
Yes.
Fraternity this side of heaven, the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Don't get me started, you know, with that. You know how we act when we get excited about our fraternity. But then obviously you've helped us. You helped our chapter do some work when we hosted the conference. And I want you to know, I don't know if it got back to you, but it is where they're finalizing the numbers. But in the history of the second district, we're either the top one or two conferences in the history of the second district, and we owe a large portion of that to you and your work you did with the women's side of it. My wife was there. She bragged about it and how great of a time she had with what you orchestrated. So thank you so much for helping us make history on hosting that district, that second district conference right here in the great state of Delaware, right in the capital city of Dover. So thank you so much for your work.
Well, you are quite welcome, but you know what? It's all about God's work. He puts us in the place and a reason and a season. And I consider him also my big bruh. Bunkley asked me, you know, was very hesitant in doing so. And I have to be honest with you. That was all new to me, but you know, I'm natural in what I do because I live in God's gift and I just take it and go forward. And I had a ball. It was wonderful. I'm so glad to know that it was successful. But I had no doubt because, of course, when we work in faith, you know, we have no fear. So that's it. But yeah, I did want to get it out there. You know, the fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, you, hubby, the son. Yeah, everybody knows. But this is not about that. This is about you.
Thank you so much.
Now, I read just a bit of your bio and it's condensed, you know, because, you know, what I want to do is I want to take that bio. I want to give it to my listeners, but then I want you to expand on that because there is more to that journey, just those few sentences. So, you know, take us back to that and then lead us into that journey onto that publication of The Danger of the Safe Place and tell us, you know, was there a particular event or someone that may have sparked your interest, or just what was the catalyst in creating the series?
Well, I'm going to tell you kind of a funny but true story. What sparked, I just have to go back to my what piqued my interest in reading. I have a mentor, and many years ago, my career field requires me to write. I write every day, basically, and I struggled with writing. I can speak. I'm comfortable in front of people. I have no problem with that. However, when it came to, you know, start putting things on paper, it was a little struggle when you were writing a certain style, master's degree, thesis, and everything. So my mentor, he approached me and it wasn't as kind as I'm telling it. And he said, "You know why you can't write?" I said, "Well, why can't I write?" "Because you don't read." And it didn't make sense. And I'm like, "Well, I didn't have a correlation of that." So I began to read, and he required me to read books and newspapers and just to learn styles of writing. So ever since then, I just began to read almost anything I can put my hands on. However, as life got busier, I have a pile of books that I'm interested in, but I could not finish them. Kids and sports and fraternity and just life in general. And by the time you settle down to bed and you want to read a couple chapters, I'm only 2 or 3 pages in, and the book is kind of reading me. So I just said, man, it'd be cool if I can just find condensed versions. I think back in the day they had cleft notes.
Mm-hmm.
Versions of books. I don't know if I can find condensed versions of books and so many amazing authors out there. What if they just shorten it? So I never thought about it, but ultimately I started going through some trials and tribulations of my own, and I was just prompt to write this particular book, and it was just placed in my heart to do books you can finish, and to put the power of reading back in the lives of individuals who are busy or those who don't read often. And I will tell you, so far, I think that has been the key to the success so far of the book. And for me, it really was just based on some conflict and what was placed in my heart. And I just started writing. I just started writing, and it just turned into a book. So.
And that is great because, you know, I wrote down here what he said to you: if you don't read, you won't write well. And that makes perfect sense.
Right. Yeah. I didn't understand. And then I started. As I begin to read, you know, I would read legal briefs. So I had to learn that. Then you read sci-fi or just newspapers and all types of genres of writing. I won't say it became easier. I began to understand more of the flow of sentences and sentence structures and what's a semicolon for, what's a colon, just the little things you read every day. Now I understand why they're there. And it made writing a little more, it made it fun. It didn't become a struggle. And now, you know, you just freestyle and then you put it all back together and then you put all the what's required from academia or whatever style of writing into your book or into the pages, and it just becomes a puzzle that you put together. And if you And I'm telling you, I firmly believe this. I firmly believe this. I don't know who you are. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I don't know. I know I'm going to reach thousands based on, you know, your blog, those who subscribe to your blog. But you have a book in you as well. You have a book in you as well. Just sit down and begin to write. And there's so many tools out there that'll help you. But also, please, please, please also begin to read. So that's that.
I know. And that is so true. I believe, you know, I say that I have a book inside. I think we all have a book inside of us. And that's probably why I love teaching people to blog, because it's a way to leave their legacy based on whatever it may be, because we are all good at something. We all have a voice. We all have a gift. And like you said, you may not want to write longhand, or you may not be, you know, want to do legal briefs or anything like that. But if there is something within you, and like you said, we all do, and I agree, we all have a book inside of us, and it's just getting started.
Right, exactly.
And so let's talk about, so on today, thinking about today, you know, like people today are running a mile a minute. We're all, you know, like you said, you want to read that book, and then the book ends up reading you. Exactly. But let's talk more specifically about the younger generation not reading. I believe not reading as much as they should, or perhaps maybe they are, and they're just using a different media. Maybe they're more likely to use Kindles, tablets, and smartphones. But like us, like you said, we had Cliff Notes. So we would go into the library, and we'd go through the Dewey Decimal System. You remember that, you know, going to the library, right?
I do, right.
So what's your thoughts on the younger generation and their, you know, do they still have a love, you know, or is that something that's gone by the wayside, or is it coming back? What do you think?
I have young children. When I say that, my youngest is 20. Well, he'll be 20. And then I have, you know, my son who graduated college, and I have a daughter, she's serving in the military. And then I have another daughter as well. So they don't read. I'm looking at, they will come home from school. In this recent, I'm saying, well, where's your homework? Where's your books? We don't have books. What do you mean you don't have any books? Well, everything's on the computer and everything's this way, you know? And I'm like, but where's your book? Sometimes having that book in your hand so you can mark it up, you can highlight it, you can, you know, rabbit ear it and go back to it. The concept of carrying books and even now in college, I mean, I'm grateful because I don't have to buy them as much. However, you can download their books now instead of them going to get a book voucher or whatever it was to get a hard book in their hand. And for me, you know, I think when that book's not in your hand, when you don't feel the pages, when you don't feel the smell, and I think it takes away from the attractiveness of reading. Yes, you know, individuals, they're utilizing all the technology. I mean, I'm guilty. I will say this myself. I couldn't tell you the last time I carried an actual Bible into church, right? It's on my phone. It's on my iPad. Even when I speak, I don't have the actual Bible. I have my iPad. And I remember one time my iPad, I think I didn't charge it up that much. And I was like, oh, Lord, I hope it doesn't die while I was speaking. So I think we've made it easier. And doing so, my kids are sending me texts. And I'm like, what in the world did they say?
Right? Oh, yeah.
There are no vowels. It's, you know, OMG. Well, of course, OMG has a vowel, but there are no complete words sometimes in the text, and I'm like, listen, it's becoming a struggle, and to even keep up with their language, how they write, because they're not reading or using actual books. In my field, I'm in the field of human resources, and I would tell you, I'm seeing it trickle into the career fields.
Mm-hmm.
The career fields, I'm seeing how applications are filled out. I'm seeing I don't want to call it laziness, because they're not lazy. They're just, it's just their culture. I'm seeing how that culture in us who are somewhat older, trying to bridge that communication gap in writing, I've had to call individuals back and say, listen, this is not going to cut it here. You actually have to write. You actually have to open. You actually have to read everything that's before you. You can't skim through anything, because the devil is in the details, and especially in the legal aspect. You have to take your time. And I don't know if they quite get it yet. That's a blanket statement. There are some individuals who I see with books in their hands and all the time, but blanket statement, there's a generation that's out there that won't read and really will rarely pick up a book. So, and I hope it to attack that. So,
yeah. And I truly understand that. I mean, one of my pet peeves, and you might've seen it as well. And I, you know, as an educator myself, I pick up on a lot, and I have seen even on television, the misspellings on the advertisements, you
right.
know, how they have the runners at the bottom, the news, and there yeah. are words that should be spelled correctly. They're spelled incorrectly. And I'm going, wait a minute, are we dumbing ourselves down to yeah. this, that we're becoming accepted? This is becoming acceptable. And
right.
it, you know, I turn to my husband and go, oh my God, that word was spelled wrong. You know,
yeah.
It just blows my mind. You know, and I actually, you know, I'm going back to what you said about the feeling, the book, the pages. The great
right.
thing about a book is I think you learn more. Your brain is more mm-hmm. susceptible to understanding the information when you are literally reading a book, holding it in your
right.
hands. And I believe I actually did a blog post about this. You know where you are in the book. You know the beginning, the middle, and the
yes.
end. When you're swiping on a Kindle
yes.
or a smartphone or a tablet, you don't know where you are. So it doesn't give you that excitement.
Flow, right.
It doesn't make you go, oh my gosh, I can't wait to read more pages, or oh, I'm almost finished, or,
yeah.
you know, so that is a lost, dying art as well.
Yeah, I agree. Even when I go on vacation, I'll take a book with me. You know, and then when you're reading on your smartphones or your Kindles or your tablets or whatever, it inevitably you'll get a text. So you stop reading, you're going to read a text, right? You're going to see there's a phone call or whatever, you know, there's something let me see what's happening on Facebook. There's so many distractions using that method. And again, it's not a knock, it's just an observation. And I really long for the day that we hope to get back to the world of books and going back to the library and going back to get a library card. I remember when I was a kid, you get a library card, you had made it.
Yes.
That was a badge of honor to go to the library. I'm from Detroit originally, as my bio says. So to go to the library and catch the bus to the library and check out a book, or those book fairs. I remember we had was it Scholastic books?
Yes.
If I recall,
yes.
mm-hmm. you begged and pleaded your mom for a dollar or two, your parents for a dollar or two, and you were just happy to grab the $25 book. I mean, 25-cent books or a dollar book. And if you had $5, I'm trying to tell you, you had a whole library.
Yes.
And I long for those days where individuals will find the joy of reading again.
Well, I think there are some areas, and you actually see, like, we had the bookmobiles, and now they're actually
yeah.
creating mini libraries in lots of towns where they build, it looks like a little bookshelf or a little bird. It looks like a birdhouse, and
mm-hmm.
people literally donate books for kids
that.
To read, and then they take them out and they put them back in. And I actually think, if my memory serves me correctly, they are actually now putting vending machines in like the subways with free books for
wow.
kids to just push the button, because I guess they do want them to get back,
mm-hmm.
you know, somewhat to the nostalgia of having a book, or, you know, getting that book card or whatever. But yeah, I mean, having a book, you know, that I loved playing. I think when I was a kid, I loved playing library. You know, color me crazy, but I loved, you know, fill. I mean, I would, and I'm don't tell anybody, but I would steal the little library cards from the library so I could make them my own.
Right. Wow. Look.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Okay. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about your book,
okay,
The Danger of the Safe Place, and all the excitement and buzz that's around it. So let's take a quick break, Andre, and then we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Charla Van Horn with Locks Forever, and I'm extending an invitation to you to check out our new podcast, Sisters Talkin' Natural Hair and Business. This is a high-energy, keeping it real and relevant podcast for natural hair enthusiasts, service providers, and business owners. We will talk about everything from tender heads to how to build a tough natural hair business. If you're starting a natural hair business, this is the podcast for you. It's informative, fun, with a twist of humor, inspiration, and feel of sitting around the table talking with your best friend. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. You will not be disappointed.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Delaware Blogger Podcast. And you know, each week I have an opportunity to interview guests from in and around the state of Delaware who are doing some positive things in his or her communities. And today, my special guest is Andre Bogarty, and he is the author of The Danger of the Safe Place. And before we took a commercial break, we were talking about, you know, the younger generation and how we as older generations, we're boomers and beyond, are looking for our younger generation to kind of get back into the love of books. But what's so great about Andre and his series is he's created books that, you know, books that you can finish. You know, they're aimed for busy individuals who love to read but find themselves too busy, and like him and like many others, will get into bed with a book and then will fall asleep, or we'll start reading a book on a tablet and then we'll get a Facebook ping or a text message, and it'll, you know, we have the attention span that less of a goldfish, so now we're off doing something else. So that's why I am, you know, The Danger of the Safe Place, the first book in this series. So Andre, I have been following you talking about social media. I've been following you along on social media, and I'm seeing some phenomenal things going on. What in the world is going on with you being sold out and like, boom, like it hasn't even been 3 weeks.
No, wow. I'm just a shock. I wish I can say I knew it. I wish I could say I had faith for it. I wish I can say I am not surprised. I am totally shocked by what has happened with the book. I ordered a certain number and I said, well, this should last me for a little while, because I didn't have a book release yet. There was a delay on some publications because I changed the publication company or the publisher. So I ordered, you know, a certain number of books, and they were gone. Literally within about 2 weeks, they're gone. In fact, I just ordered another set of books Monday, and they're on their way. And I am already over 10, almost 20%, I'm sure, out of those books. Those books are 20% of the books that I just ordered are gone. I've had individuals who've read the book and called me and say, I need four more. I'm like, four more? I am... You know what? I'm going to tell a secret. I don't even have a copy.
What?
I didn't even keep a copy for myself. Don't tell my wife, but I have to look on her dresser and borrow hers so I can have it in front of me right now for references. But she has it all marked up. So I'm going to try to put it right back the way I found it. But I'm borrowing hers right now. We sold out in the heart of the paperback books. I've sent books to Michigan, Maryland. Some will be heading to California now. Of course, Delaware and Florida. They're in Florida. right now, and I am shocked. I am beyond humbled and so grateful. And individuals, I there has not been a day that has gone by that has someone who's finished the book has not sent me a text or inboxed me. I had one reader break down maybe 40 of the pages. Now, the book is only 68 pages. That includes the table of contents. That includes the closing. That includes the dedication. So the book is only about 66 pages of actual reading. And she broke down maybe 30 to 40 of those pages of what it meant to her. And I include some questions, some challenging questions for individuals to answer or to address after each chapter. And when I tell you that, I'm so humble, I'm so grateful. Again, this is without actual book signing. And I prayed, well, do I need a book signing? And one thing God just placed on my heart, again, I don't know, wherever your faith is where it is, but I just pray, and God placed on my heart, he said, I just wanted to show you that even though that's the regular and the right and the natural progression of launching your book, I wanted to show you I can do it a different way when you dedicate it to me. And that's not a knock on anybody who does that. That was just his words to me. Now, I'm going to have a book signing, and I want to. I'm just trying to squeeze it in and schedule it. But I've had a few businesses contact me and say, hey, I need some books in my barber was like, yo, I need 4 or 5 books in the shop so I can sell them because people are asking about them. Another business owner said, hey, I need you. Can you put some books in here and announce that they're here? And, you know, and maybe you can come have a sipping shop or something or something like that. And conversations with Andre. So when I tell you that I'm blown away, I am so blown away about the results so far. So I'm grateful.
Well, you know what? Before we even get into it, I would love to, you know, once you get your schedule, you know, I would love to come and, you know, wherever you are, you know, if you're going to do a conversations with Andre, a sip and snack or whatever, just, you know, make sure that you let me know on some date. So perhaps we can come and do a live feed right from there to get, you know, a conversation again, because this is positive. This is positive things that's happening in our communities, and people need to be aware of that. And I am so proud of you. And I know, you know, this is like I said in the beginning, this is just the beginning. You are definitely going to be named as a, you know, best-selling author. Yes, definitely. So tell us a little bit about the danger of the safe place.
Well, actually, you know, the danger of the safe place is this. The danger of the safe place is those places that we choose to stay in because on the surface, they appear to be safe. But sometimes it's in those safe places we're our own worst enemies. I would tell you that, you know, whether it's a job, of course, we want to provide for our families. But how many of us have been miserable at a job or a myriad of areas in our life, and we stayed there because it seemed safe, it seemed like the right thing to do, it went against all natural thinking that, you know, of what you should do about in your life or how you should move or how you should make your money or, you know, you go to school, whatever it is, it's just that place in your mind that you decide to stay in and dare not to follow your dreams, dare not to put yourself out there, dare not to risk it all. And sometimes, you know, you have to risk it all. You have to go all in. You have to know that you won't be, even if you don't succeed, you get the satisfaction of knowing I gave it my all and not fear. My favorite part of the book is my dedication. That's my favorite part of the book. And that dedication reads, this book is dedicated to my fear. I beat you. And that's what I want individuals to understand. And if they take anything else away, that you overcome your fear and you beat your fear and forget what people said and forget what people said about you. You know what? I'm going to just put it out there. My mom had me in 1972 when she was 15 years old. there were no TV shows about, you know, celebrating teen pregnancy. In fact, it was not popular. It was not popular. They didn't think I would graduate high school. Nevertheless, college was an absolute no-no for me. And to have and to achieve a master's degree, that some people didn't think I would be alive. So you know, I had, even though she had me young, she was old school mom. Street lights came in, I had to come in the house, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least be in front of the house. But I will tell you, the words that I heard, now I know they impacted my psyche. You know, I don't know if I get into it, but I tell a story about a math teacher who belittled me in the class in my middle school year. I still remember her name. I won't call it. who belittled me in math. So to this day, I openly admit, when I went to college, I said, hey, what degree requires less math?
Wow.
Because that was embedded in me, that I couldn't do math. Although I took pre-calculus in high school and, you know, went on to graduate college, I still had this slight phobia, and I'm going to overcome that too, of numbers. And so it's those things that people have told us about us, or people didn't tell us in some instances, that we decide to stay in safe places. Who knows? I always wanted to be an engineer, but math scared me. So I would tell you, that's the danger of the safe place. We move to what's easy for us. We gravitate to what's easy for us. We gravitate to, you know, what's not ruffling feathers. And if it's putting food on our table, and if the lights are coming on, we'll be miserable and stay in those safe places instead of just going out. And you never know who you could be when you take that step and leave your safe place. That's kind of the overall view of the safe places. And sometimes I will go into it. I just believe God causes some things to give us opportunities to leave those safe places. Like, for example, I think my chapter one is conflict. Sometimes there's you didn't get fired because you couldn't do your job. You got fired or you got laid off, or your job got restructured. Because I just believe God wanted to take that safety mat under you, that safety net from you, and cause you to perform. Now you gotta perform. Now you gotta tap into those other gifts. Now you gotta dream again. Now you gotta figure out, okay, what's next for me? Now you can say, hey, now I have an excuse or a reason to it. Maybe you're somebody who says, I don't want to go. I couldn't go to college, or I didn't want to go to college, or I'm. Maybe now is the time. I don't care how old you are. I didn't graduate. I didn't go to college until I was 35 after I got out the military. So I'm a late college graduate, and I didn't get my master's degree until I was 38, 37. So while that's not old, it's not conventional. And I wasn't the youngest one in the class. So I'm telling you to dream again and be confident that you can absolutely leave your safe place. And when those things come up, when situations come up, find out the why in them, because some of them are happening because there's so much more in you, and you can use that opportunity to accomplish anything you want to accomplish.
Wow, Andre, you got me smiling over here, because you're talking to me, you preaching to me. I know the easy, you know, I was corporate America 32 years. I was looking forward to retirement, but I had prayed and prayed and said, God, this is what I want to do. And I was moving a little bit too slow for him. So guess what happened? I got laid off after 32 years.
Are you serious?
Like, I'm serious as a heart attack.
I never knew that.
Yes. Yes. So I was the danger. I was the danger of the safe place. So you know what? I've got to get a copy. Definitely. I've got to get a copy. I can't order it now. You know, you all sold out.
I'm going to deliver it to you. I'm going to deliver it to you personally. You and your husband have been a blessing to me. So I yours is on me. I'm going to write.
Well, you know what? We're going to get together and have a conversation, because right. I'm going to break this down. This is amazing. I mean, tell us, I mean, how can we, because you're talking to me, and I know if anybody's listening to this now, later, or later, I want them to be able to connect with you. Give me the information, how people can connect with you, your email address. Now, you know, whenever, I want you to let me know when you've got speaking engagements coming up, your signing tours, because we will just add that to this. You know, we will, and I will repost this interview so that people know that when they come out to see you, to listen to you, to meet you, to get that book, that it is definitely going to be worth it. So tell us, you know, where we can find your email address and any hashtags you want us to follow along. I'd appreciate that.
Well, first, obviously, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me at my name. That's not hard. It's kind of unique. But also, there, the book has its own page, The Danger of the Safe Place. So you can go there. You can email me at AM, my last name, BOGGERTY, at Gmail. You can go there and you can email me or, you know, request a book. Then there's the website of www.dangerofsafeplace.wixsite.com. Let me read that again. dangerofsafeplace.wixsite.com. So any of those mediums, you can reach me. I actually have a speaking engagement on September 26th. I don't know, you know, on September 26th at Delaware State University, although it's not related to the book, I'll be speaking to youth leaders regarding leadership and the stresses and struggles of how youth, when I say youth, they're college students, young people, and the leadership in leadership capacities. I'll be addressing them on how to manage leadership and organizational structure. That's on September 26th. But I definitely will keep you informed, and I'm looking forward to more opportunities to promote you as well. And anything I can do for you, you let me know. And I'm super excited. Thank you so much for this time. And I expect you to just rise to the top of bloggers. You have relevant content, meaningful content. You're not bashing anyone. You're not tearing anyone down. You're doing exactly what we need. And that's just to uplift one another and celebrate each other's accomplishments. So I, and Ms. Antoinette, I celebrate your accomplishment. And I'm looking forward to seeing you win more awards and be recognized for the work that you're doing.
Well, I accept that, Andre. Thank you so very much. And, you know, I'm going to post all how we can get a hold of you, you know, the Facebook page, The Danger of the Safe Place, your email address, which is ambogarty@gmail.com, the website dangerofsafeplace.wixsite.com. So that'll all be in the show notes, not only on this, but also on my blog. Yeah, Del State is doing it up. I'm actually speaking to the students on the 25th, so I'll be there today before you.
Oh, wow.
But it'll be already done by the time that we go live with this. But yeah, I love talking to students at Delaware State, because when I look out, you know, look at them, I see our future leaders. And as, you know, an alum of Del State, you know, that's my give back. So thank you for, you know, giving back as well on the 26th of September. So before I let you go, do you have any last words for us? I know you do.
You know what? I just want you all to know that you should be super excited about your future. You should be super excited and embrace anything that comes your way, knowing that at the end of the day, everything's going to work out. You just got to put your plan in motion. Don't worry about the resources. I technically didn't have all the resources. I didn't even have all the know-how to write the book. And as soon as I decided, people just start, it's just like the dots started connecting. I found the editor. I contacted someone who I know who have written the book. They gave me a book cover designer. I did some of my own research and found out, you know, the publisher. And people, there are people who want to help you in every endeavor in your life. So don't think you're out there alone. There's so many. My pastor, if you saw it in the bio, you just have to have faith to start. So I'm daring you right now, after you hear this blog, you go somewhere and write down your first step that you, whatever it is you need to do, whether you want to invest in real estate, whether you want to become a real estate agent, whether you want to become whatever it is, whether you want to write your book, whether you want to write a song, whether you want to start your business, whatever it is, you take the first step. And I want you to dedicate it to your fears so one day you too can tell your fears that you've won.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Andre. That's right. Tell your fear that you won, because you know that I just can't wait. The conversations with Andre, we're going to definitely reconnect because people need to hear that, especially in today's world. So I truly appreciate you. I appreciate you giving me the time to just come on to the Delaware Blogger Podcast. I wish you nothing but major success, you know, because God's got you, and I can. You're just gonna blow up. Just don't forget me when you're way up there doing channel. You know, the Oprah show. Does Oprah still have a show? No, I don't know who has a show, but. When you out there be, you know, on the circuit, you know, remember us little Delawareans back here. So Andre, thank you. Thank you so very much. And I thank everybody else for, you know, giving us some time listening today to the Delaware Blogger Podcast. And, you know, each week I just love introducing you to guests such as Andre that are from here and even around the state of Delaware who are doing some phenomenal things in their community. So if you'd like to be a guest on the Delaware Blogger Podcast, please send an email to me at info@ablakeenterprises.com. And don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, as well as subscribe to my blog, delblogger.com. Again, thank you all for listening, and please share this podcast link with your circle of family and friends. And until the next time, stay safe, stay smart, and stay social, because I will see you in cyberspace. See ya. It's the DE Diva. Have a truly blessed day.